Chapter 5. Darlene was pouring water into the half-filled liquor bottles behind the bar.
"Hey, Darlene, listen to this shit,"
Lana Lee commanded, folding the newspaper and weighting it down with her ashtray.
"Freda Club, Betty Bumper, and Liz Steele, all of 796 Peter Street, were arrested from El Caballo Lounge, 570 Burgundy Street, last night, and booked with disturbing the peace and creating a public nuisance. According to arresting officers, the incident started when an unidentified man made a proposal to one of the women. The woman's two companions struck the man, who fled from the lounge. The Steele woman threw a stool at the bartender, and the other two women menaced customers in the lounge with stools and broken beer bottles. Customers in the lounge said that the man who fled was wearing bowling shoes."
"How's about that? People like that are ruining the quarter. Some honest Joe tries to make off with one of those dykes, and they try to beat him up. Once upon a time, it was nice and straight around here. Now it's all dykes and fairies. No wonder business stinks. I can't stand dykes. I can't."
"The only people we get in here at night anymore is plainclothesmen," Darlene said. "How come they don't get a plainclothesman after women like that?"
"This place is turning into a goddamn precinct. All I'm putting on is a benefit show for the Policeman's Benevolent Association,"
Lana said disgustedly.
"A lot of empty space and few cops throwing signals at each other. Half the time I gotta watch you, Brain, to see you don't try to sell them a drink."
"Well, Lana," Darlene said, "how am I supposed to know who's a cop? Everybody looks the same to me."
She blew her nose.
"I try to make a living."
"You tell a cop by his eyes, Darlene. They're very self-assured. I've been in this business too long. I know every dirty cop angle. The marked bills, the phony clothes. If you can't tell by the eyes, then take a look at the money. It's full of pencil marks and crap."
"How am I supposed to see the money? It's so dark in here, I can hardly see the eyes even."
"Well, we're gonna have to do something about you. I don't want you sitting out here on my stools. You're going to try to sell a double martini to the chief of police one of these nights."
"Then let me get on the stage and dance. I got a socko routine."
"Oh, shut up," Lana hollered.
If Jones knew about the police in the place at night, then goodbye, Discount Porter.
"Now, look here, Darlene. Don't tell that Jones we suddenly got the whole force in here at night. You know how colored people feel about cops. He might get scared and quit. I mean, I'm trying to help the boy out and keep him off the streets."
"Okay," Darlene said. "But I ain't making no money. I'm so afraid the guy on the next stool is the police. You know what we need in here to make money?"
"What?"
Lana asked angrily.
"What we need in here is an animal."
"A what? Jesus Christ."
"I ain't cleaning up after no animal,"
Jones said, bumping his mop noisily against the legs of the bar stools.
"Come on over and check under these stools," Lana called to him.
"Oh, whoa! Where I miss a spot? Hey!"
"Look in the paper, Lana," Darlene said. "Almost every other club on the street's got them an animal."
Lana turned to the entertainment pages and through Jones's fog studied the nightclub ads.
"Well, little Darlene's on the ball. I guess you'd like to become the manager of this club, huh?" "No, ma'am."
"Well, remember that," Lana said, and ran a finger along the ads.